Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Primetime on Money FM 89.3. I'm Howie Lim. Now, the YPO Global CEO Survey on Gender Parity, held in collaboration with UN Women as part of the He for She campaign, was launched recently. It was conducted with over 2,000 CEOs globally, and some top-line findings included progress finally being made, with 60% of CEOs reporting that their organizations are more diverse than 5 years ago, and female-led organizations recruit more female talent. For more insights, we speak to Alicia Yee, Vice Chairman of CEO and Board Practice at Korn Ferry. She's also the APEC Regional Leader of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. Alicia, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Howie, for having me.
So we have to start with the pandemic and maybe what lessons the pandemic has taught about D&I, given how we've been for the last 1.5 years.
I feel the pandemic has really highlighted how unequal this world is. So if you look at the death tolls, for example, it's disproportionately the poor populations around the world that have been affected. And if you look at the job losses, it's also disproportionately the lower wage jobs that have been affected badly. So it really highlighted how this world is really not equal for everyone. But I think it also highlighted how important it is for us to take care of all people and not just the rich and not just a certain proportions of the global population if you want to put the pandemic behind us.
On a more positive note, at least the surveys found that there's some progress being made, right? Over these 2,000 CEOs are saying that gender parity is, the gap is closing, would you say? I mean, so at this point, sure, there's long ways to go. What can organizations do?
Yeah, so one of the things that many organizations are doing these days, which is finding to be very effective, is unconscious bias training. So all of us have unconscious biases. It filters our thoughts and our beliefs about each other. So if we become more conscious of our own biases and its impact on others, then we can learn to interrupt our thoughts and behave differently to make sure that we're giving everyone a fair chance.
That sounds challenging to do, though, Alicia. It's almost as if you're asking people to do some navel gazing, if you will.
I wouldn't go that far, but there are a number of assessments that you could take quite quickly to really see where you have biases, right? And it's really amazing. It's on the internet. It's many companies have it. And once you take that, you'll be surprised how biased you really are, even when you think you're not biased, even though your intentions is not to be biased. That kind of awareness, when you get those results and really create a right platform to talk about it and bring it to your attention, it really does help you think differently. You know, so creating that awareness is everything. And it's effective on all levels of employees and all people, frankly.
So even within the mentoring realm and for an employee for their advancement and such, this kind of unconscious bias training would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. People, leaders of an organization has a special responsibility to make sure that all people are getting the right developmental opportunities and career advancement opportunities. And those things, if you study the data of any organization, you will see biases at play. So you will see many women are in the pipeline, but they never break through to become promoted. Many of the reasons are she's not ready. Something is happening. Either we're not developing women at the same rate, or we have certain unconscious bias that's at play when it comes to promotion time.
Let's then talk about making recruiting women a priority, Alicia, because let's say Singapore, for example, right? We are a meritocratic society. So it's always got to be based on your abilities and your experience, I suppose. What then? Because you also don't want to recruit women for the sake of recruiting women. I mean, are they the best candidate?
Right. But you know, Howie, I would think of it this way. If you look at the Singapore listed companies, there are still less than 10% CEOs who are women. That would mean that they're 90% plus men who are CEOs. And if we are truly a society based on merit, you would think that it would be much closer to 50-50, right? So I think companies or even countries like Singapore that really believe in meritocracy should look at the data, which tells you that despite the fact that that might be the intention of the organization, it can't possibly be fair to all, because otherwise we would be saying that women are just simply not as good as men, or not as smart as men, or we don't work as hard as men. And I don't see that to be true.
Yeah.
Something is happening that's giving women the disadvantage in relation to men when you go up the ranks of an organization.
So what exactly do you think we're fighting here then, Alicia? Anecdotally, I've heard some women leaders say it is the pipeline that is the issue. Along the way, as women join the workforce and start out, they're hampered at every stage. Or those unconscious biases hit them from the start. And so they just don't progress at the same pace men do.
Yeah, that's right. A lot of the countries, including Singapore, we have more women graduating from college than men.
And yet,
at the middle management level is when it tapers off, where there are more men being promoted to the middle management and higher than women. So at the entry level, we don't have any problem. In fact, I think there are more women entering the workforce at the more junior level. It's when you move up the organization, women are not getting promoted or given opportunities to develop so that they're ready to be promoted. So I would say that recruiting women is less of an issue. It's more about developing women in your organization that's more of an issue.
Alicia Yee, Vice Chairman of CEO and Board Practice at Korn Ferry. She's also the APEC Regional Leader of Diversity, Equity and Inclusion. Okay, so the next thing would be also that the survey found that flexible work options might really help in this regard, right? 84% of respondents said they offer flexible work options. One quarter said it made the most significant impact in creating that culture of gender inclusivity. But also on the flip side, we've heard that this work from home phenomenon hasn't worked out as great for women as hoped.
Yeah, so I think the pandemic really has forced, in fact, companies to think about flexible work hours and working from home, right? And so I think the whole world is changing. And even when the pandemic is over, my belief is that it's never going to be the 9-to-5 office hours that we were used to.
Mm.
We are going to have a lot more flexibility than they have done in the past. Now, that said, a lot of women have more family responsibilities than men, or they take on more. And so working from home when you have young children has been really a challenge for many of the women, possibly more than men, just from the sheer fact that we do more housework and our kids look to us for everything, from schoolwork to getting them fed and all that stuff.
Also, this brings to mind, though, Alicia, Apple's recent announcement regarding forcing their employees back to the office, say, 3 times a week or something. The details elude me. What did you make of that?
I was actually quite surprised at that announcement, because some of the companies are saying we're never going to do 5 days a week. And, you know, maybe Apple is not expecting 5 days a week.
Yeah.
But flexible working hours and having less real estate for a lot of companies are probably going to be the way of the future. And so I don't know why they felt that they needed to force employees to come back to the office. I think some of the people are more productive. Others are more productive in the office, and giving people the choice is really going to give all the organizations the advantages as the employer of choice.
At this stage, though, Alicia, the benefits of diversity and inclusion can't be argued, and yet businesses face challenges putting that front and center despite knowing those benefits. What do you think can be done, and what do you think is holding them back, so to speak?
Well, I think the biggest challenge, frankly, is that the leaders, especially in Asia, don't quite connect the fact that D&I is really an important business agenda. So it's not just a nice thing to do or the right thing to do, but when you look into it in depth, you realize it's directly linked to people's productivity. It's also directly linked to how creative people can be in terms of business solutions and design ideas. And then also from an employee satisfaction standpoint, the companies that really embrace D&I as a way forward have shown that employees are more engaged and happier working at your company. But until the leaders really connect that it is a business imperative to really embrace a culture of diversity, equity, and inclusion, I think it's always going to be looked at as a nice thing to do. I'll get to it when my business agenda is not so urgent. The leaders really need to realize that it is one and the same thing. Another thing that often comes up is the fact that when you have diverse workforce, you understand the consumers better. Because if you look at the consumer world worldwide, they're all different types of consumers, right? So the more your employees really reflect the world that we live in, the more you're going to be connected to the consumers that you serve.
How hopeful are you, Alicia, that more progress can be made? There's some cautious optimism I hear in your voice with regard to, say, the findings of this particular survey. And yet, how hopeful are you?
You know, I am hopeful. I think more than any time in history, world leaders and organizational leaders are really taking this as one of their top priorities. Mm. That gender equity will help countries improve their GDP. For organizations, it will improve their productivity and engagement to product design. So I am really, really hopeful that this is the time that leaders and organizations and everyone recognizes the price of not having an equitable world. And so I think we're all going to work towards more equity and more inclusion.
Alicia, thank you so much for your insights today, and please stay safe.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Howie. Really enjoyed the session.
Alicia Yi, Vice Chairman of CEO and Board Practice at Korn Ferry. She's also the APEC Regional Leader of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion. This is Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.